I would invite you to take a Bible and turn to two brief passages in the Old Testament. First, Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 4. That's on page 184. And then Jeremiah 29, 1 through 9 on page 676. Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 4, and Jeremiah 29, 1 through 9. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over." And from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 9. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the court officials, the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the artisans, and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom King Zedekiah of Judah sent to Babylon to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you. And do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord." Have you ever had dreams? And I'm not meaning sleepy time dreams, but hopes and dreams of what you would be, what you would do, what type of life you would have, or perhaps what your children might become. Have you ever known or perhaps been someone who had those kinds of dreams and aspirations and to whom people often referred, they're just a dreamer? Now, I am not saying that we should not have hopes, dreams, aspirations. We do need to have those. And that, I think, is part of being a healthy person. But how often have you had dreams that have not come true? Or perhaps they've not come exactly the way you wanted them to be. You know, if we're honest, most of us, if not all of us, probably had dreams to go awry, dreams to go unfulfilled. At least I know that I have. I had dreams that didn't come true. I hoped to be a professional baseball player. Nope, Didn't happen. I was a good athlete. Played shortstop from the time I was 8 and a half until I finally quit softball about 6 or 7 years ago. I had to work hard at it, but no baseball dream fulfillment. I dreamed of perhaps playing professional football as a defensive back, as a tailback. But then again, the single wing went away my senior year in high school. We ran it before that. Didn't happen. I also dreamed of being a surgeon. Can't you see these short, stubby, crooked fingers inside somebody? I really did. I wanted to be either a cardiac surgeon or an orthopedic surgeon. And with all of my orthopedic issues, I probably should have been an orthopedic surgeon. Except I probably couldn't work on myself. I loved biology. I did well. My best friend in school, elementary, up till about halfway through high school, Bobby Rippey, his father was a doctor, and we used to go at least once every month to 6 weeks. Bobby and I would go over on a Saturday morning. They probably wouldn't let you do this now. But we used to go over to the hospital on a Saturday morning. And Bobby's dad's best friend was a pathologist. And we would go in there and look at all the jars of things he had that had come out of people. And that were in this big room. And then we'd watch him sometimes slicing up things that had come out of people to do the pathological reports. And in the fifth grade, we saved up our money and went to Carolina Biological Supply Company and convinced our fifth grade teacher to let us cut up a dogfish shark there in class. Did it right after lunch. Some of the folks didn't fare well. But no surgeon. Dreamed I would be successful at it and make a lot of money. Nope. Didn't happen. And quite frankly, at that time and for much of my early life, I never dreamed that I would be a religion professor and a minister. And guess what? That undream came true when I took my first religion class in college. But you know, in thinking back, there have been a lot of dreams for me that didn't come true. But I received a whole lot more than I had dreamed of earlier. Now, I received some real headaches. Trust me. But not only those, I received some deep fulfillment. And quite frankly, the dream that I had earlier about where I would end up and what I would do and who I would marry was far surpassed. Not what I dreamed, but was far surpassed as I was blessed with the most incredible wife, children, and grandchildren. You saw them both in here a while ago. Which would not have happened if my earlier dreams had come true. Even if I had had the dream of being the surgeon come true, I would have lost all of that blessing. And no, I'm not trying to butter up Mary because she's downstairs with the children. She may not even have the TV on. Okay? Yet there are many ways to look at this, at dreams. For some people, what happened between the dream and what they got is on the plus side. More wonderful than they ever thought. And they're left with gratitude and sometimes wonder. Wonder why this happened this way. But for many others, and for even some of us who were more blessed in some ways, there were other places where the gap between the dreams and what we receive or what we might still be getting is great. And not on the plus side. Burdens have come. Life has become hard. We feel disappointed, befuddled, sometimes overwhelmed. Life's different for folks than what they imagined or hoped when those dreams don't come true. And sometimes we ask, well, what now? What do I do now that life is different in ways that I never expected? It's so hard. The passages today speak of times when the dreams didn't come true. Imagine being Moses. Moses had become a great leader and overall had done well. It stumbled a little bit along the way, and he did have to deal with that group of rather ornery, dissatisfied, ungrateful folks that he was leading through the wilderness that ended up complaining to him more times than they did to say anything positive. He had done well. And given that situation and the people, he had really done well. Moses dreamed of a triumphal entry. A triumphal entry into the land of promise. He would be at the head of a throng of grateful people. Not only grateful to God, but grateful to Moses. And then his life ends just short of that dream. He gets almost there. He's right at the threshold. And God says, go up here, top of Mount Pisgah, look over here. And then God doesn't just say, look over in the land. He says, I want you to look up and see, that's where Dan's going to be. And there's Naphtali and there's Zebulun and there's Judah and all that land and the city of palms, Jericho. And then he said, okay, you've seen it, but you're not going into it. He lives and he dies between the dream and what he eventually got. I'm really not sure that I can imagine what was going on in his mind at that point. The disappointment. But have you felt like you've been there before? The passage from Jeremiah tells us it's a letter. A letter that he has written to those from Judah who have been carried off into exile. They had dreamed of being great in the land of promise and God would always take care of them and nothing would ever happen to them. They were God's chosen people. They would always be great. And yet those dreams had been shattered. Had been shattered with the onslaught of the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar. And the exile taken away from their homes. Taken away from their land. And they found themselves in a strange, foreign land and a foreign culture with people who worshiped different gods. And they began to wonder, what happened to the dream? Where is God? The grand dream that we had is all gone. But then they replaced the dream with other dreams. They replaced the dream with a dream that the exile, okay, we're here, but you know it's going to be short. Not going to last very long. Almost like going through a revolving door. We're going to get here, spend a little bit of time, turn around, go right back, and then we'll be great. Word traveled back to Jeremiah that there were those who were preaching that prosperity gospel. That success. And he immediately sent this letter. He immediately sent this letter to them saying, wait a minute, you got to watch out for this pie in the sky by and by rhetoric and how everything's going to be fine real soon. You won't be home in no time, he says. those dreams of a short exile are not going to happen. And when this letter arrives to them, all of a sudden, once again, they begin to feel that their hopes and their dreams are being dashed. In fact, Jeremiah, in the verses immediately after where we stopped, says, you'll be in exile for 70 years. 70 years. A lifetime for many people. 70 years. He says, so don't listen to those others. Make the best of it while you're there. Build houses. Plant gardens. Marry. Give in marriage. Increase. Basically what he was saying in this realistic approach, he was issuing a challenge to them to prove their faith. You know, it's easy to, quote unquote, prove your faith when everything's going your way. But when the dreams are dashed, when the dreams don't come true as you hoped, that's where the true measure of faith comes about. In fact, as Chuck Poole paraphrases this, he said, what Jeremiah was saying is, if you don't go ahead and live life as fully as you can in Babylon, then you'll never live life fully anywhere else either. End of quote. Wow, think how devastating that was. How disappointing. How overwhelming it would be. The people must have been absolutely crushed. And yet as that word came, there were those false prophets and diviners. Oh, no, don't listen to Jeremiah. This is the prosperity age. And think about how the older ones must have felt. We will never get back home if we're here 70 years. They had thought all would change and they would go back to normal living. And Jeremiah said, no, this is your life now. You need to live in it and you need to live through it. And if you're faithful, God will be with you even in the middle of that. He didn't tell them if they prayed harder or had more faith or sent their money to this evangelist that they would be rescued soon. Instead, he told them, come to terms with what life has given you, the way it's unfolded. Pray, yes, but then live into and through the only life that you've got. And the only place that you are. Jeremiah offered to those people of God, not pie in the sky by and by, but he offered them a hard dose of realism. And then he told them, if you'll be faithful, God will be there with you even where you are. You know, sometimes we in the Christian church don't deal with this coming to term with life when things aren't good all that well. Quite frankly, there are folks who stand in places like I'm standing today or other places that want to just toss out nothing but the prosperity and forget the reality. We look with optimism, sometimes a false sense of optimism. And we hope for the better. And that's not always bad because, you know, we do have a gospel of hope. We do have a message of hope. But at the same time, we should not use it to try to mask or cover up that sometimes bad things do happen to good people. Sometimes bad things happen to godly people and we don't know how to explain it. In fact, I think sometimes that's why some of us use those prosperity, false hope kinds of things is because we don't know how to handle it. And yet Jeremiah said the way to handle it is to live your life where you are in connection with God, faithful and faith-filled. For if you don't live that life fully where you are, you'll never live it fully anywhere else. Sometimes we find ourselves living in that gap, do we not? The gap between what we dreamed and what we got. Forgetting that sometimes our dreams are not only not the reality, but they're not God's desire for us. Now that I've got you depressed, we also need to remember, yeah, I did a pretty good job, right? We also need to remember that that is not the last word. Despair is not the last word for those who truly follow God. I know that's a whole lot easier to say than it is to do sometimes. I've been there, done that, didn't get a t-shirt, and if I had, it would have been ugly. But we do have someone who is beyond us at work. God is still present. God is still working, and that is the message that Moses died with. Even though he was disappointed, he knew that God was still present and God was still working and would continue to work in Israel. Jeremiah knew that with the exiles and with everything that had happened, and even though many of those folks would die and it would be their children as older people and their grandchildren who would get to come back, God was still present with those who wouldn't. And God's work for them, for us, and within us is not finished if we will but be open, especially when the dreams don't come true. God's presence and God's promise are foundations upon which we can rest or stand. Good hymn choice. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am weak. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm worn. And no matter how good we might feel or how good our health might seem to be, when those difficulties come, we feel tired and weak and worn. And when our foundations seem to crumble, all we have to do is work hard at standing on that foundation. Notice I didn't say all you got to do is stand on it. All you got to do is work hard at it, because in difficult days it is hard work. And while some dreams don't come true, God has promised that what He has to give us is so much more than just a dream. So much more than just a dream. It is the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality which we may not see fully in this life, but which doesn't fade for the weary and battered, but still faithful and faith-filled. God is a future for each one of us. A future that God desires, and yet sometimes we miss out on it because we do not remain faithful. We give in. But it takes patience. There's that word that we don't like, because it means that something is going to happen that's going to teach us to be patient, and we don't want that. It means endurance. Enduring those things. And just as the words of Jeremiah are not only for the exiles, but those around them, so when we live with that hope in difficult times, those around us can come to know that the hope is available for them too. And God's promises to those exiles through Jeremiah are the same promises for you and me when the dreams don't come true. First of all, God promises that He will visit us in times of desperation. And that's not a quick visit. He doesn't pop in, say hi, and take off. The word for visit here is to dwell with, to spend time with. Secondly, God will fulfill His promises to be with us and to guide us if we will but let Him. And third, God has promised that He will act for us and act upon us. God Himself has taken the initiative to watch us and to guide us. So we have the assurance that no matter what, when we get caught in the gap between what we dreamed and what really happens, God is there with us, waiting for us to draw near, to seek after, and to seek with endurance. Because don't you know, sometimes you offer that prayer and you offer it a second time and a third time and a fourth time, and then you think, are you even listening? But it's only in the endurance that we truly draw near to God. And when we do so, we won't have to search like He was hiding, because we'll find that He's still there no matter where our Babylon might be and no matter what it might entail. God's face is always toward us to guide us, even when our dreams don't come true as we hope. Because His dreams and His desires for us are even greater. So what do you do when your dreams don't come true? Let's pray. Lord, there's so many times when we have hopes and dreams and perhaps we do something to short-circuit them, or we seem not to do anything, but they don't come out the same way we had hoped. Help us when we are dry and weary and tired and weak, when we're disappointed and befuddled, when we're nearly overwhelmed. Help us to be even more faith-filled and await Your dreams for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is number 139. And it's a reminder. It's a reminder that when the dreams don't come true, God is still faithful. But the question that makes this meaningful or not is how faithful we remain. Hymn number 139, Great is Thy Faithfulness.